ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट 9। पश्येषमे नार्यमनन्ताद्ये परात्मनि त्वय्यपि मायि मायिनि मायां वितत्येक्षितुमात्मवैभवम् हि अयं कियानेच्छामि वार्चिरग्नो पश्ये। ट्रांसलेशन। My Lord, just see my uncivilized impudence. To test your power, I tried to extend my illusory potency to cover you, the unlimited and primeval super soul, who bewilder even the masters of illusion. What am I compared to you? I am just like a small spark in the presence of a great fire. Purport. A great fire produces many sparks, which are insignificant in comparison to it. Indeed, if one of the small sparks were tried to burn the original fire, the attempt would be simply ludicrous. Similarly, even the creator of the entire universe, Lord Brahma, is an insignificant spark of the potency of God. And therefore, Brahma's attempt to bewilder the Supreme Lord was certainly ludicrous. Brahma here addresses Lord Krishna as Isha, which indicates that Krishna is not only the supreme master of everyone, but is also specifically the master of Brahma, who creates the universe directly under the guidance of the Lord, and who indeed is born directly from the Lord's own body. Brahma felt ashamed of his impudent attempt at deluding Lord Krishna, and he was therefore perfectly willing to be punished or forgiven by the Lord according to his decision. If Lord Krishna does not mercifully punish his devotees when they act improperly, their foolishness will simply increase and gradually completely overwhelm their devotional sentiments. Therefore, Lord Krishna kindly disciplines his devotees and maintains them on the progressive path back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. With the blessings and permission of all the devotees, I'd like to speak something on this verse for our purification. So here Brahmaji is saying that who am I compared to you? I am just a small spark in the presence of a great fire. So this comparison which he is doing with Lord, this comparison is not based on some like material false ego, where out of frustrated false ego, person say, oh, what can I do? I am small, you are big. This comparison is actually real humility of Brahmaji, because he is focusing on greatness of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Basically, the humility is a very difficult subject, because we are acting on false ego. So that's why it's become difficult to understand and appreciate. At the same time, like if we see from very gross point of view, for humility, like if we just see from a gross point of view, two things are important. Like first, we have to understand the greatness of the Lord, and second, we have to understand the insignificant situation of ourselves. So between these two, it is better to focus on greatness of the Lord, especially for the conditioned soul first. I just thought about it a little bit. Because at the level of false ego doesn't allow one to realize that one's insignificant position. Even if he's doing many menial services, insignificant services, in that also false ego comes up and gives the feeling of, you know, I'm special, I'm superior, I'm better than this. Oh, I'm doing menial service, that person is not doing. So it's not that we don't have to work on this, we have to work on that also. But hearing the glories of the Lord is even more important, because that make us realize that how great God is and how merciful He is. Because another aspect of problem with the frustrated false ego is on the name of humility, person may get into the zone of depression actually. So it appears like he is feeling humble, very lowly, but actually he is the case of a depression candidate. Because he's too much focusing on his weakness, he's too much focusing on his faults, and because of that he's not able to do any seva for the Lord, service for the Lord, or what he can do. So if somebody read Vaishnava Acharya's songs, so he may think that these acharyas also, you know, feeling some kind of depression or something, outside person, you know, like devotees understand that why it is different than a depression, because when devotees are expressing their faults or their problems or their fallen nature, they are at the same time focusing on the hope which they have in the mercy of the Lord. And that is the main thing, main difference between the, you know, like many self-help books are available in the market, which helps you to, you know, come out of your weakness and inferiority complex and can do something in the life. But there is no mention of taking help from the God there. The only mention is like what you can do on your own. So at the end of the exercise, it only increases the false ego of the person. All the person can come out of it for time being, because they help you to come out of your mental problems and other things. But it may lead to increase of the false ego, because you have done it on your own. So when the acharyas are singing like this song, Gopinath, you know, so he, although he is saying, Gopinath, mama nivedana shuno, vishay durjana sada kamarata, kichu nahi mora guna, that I have no qualification, I have no guna, immediately in the second stanza he is saying, amara bharasa tumi, that although I don't have any hope from myself, but I have a lot of hope from you. Tumara charane lohinu sharana. That's why I'm taking your shelter. So this positivity is always there, and that is actually humility. That realizing one's dependence on the Lord, and this is what, you know, Vaishnava philosophy is, that how great God is and how insignificant we are. Like Brahma is saying, I'm like a small spark, and in the purport it is said that if a small spark start thinking that I can overpower the fire, then it is madness. So it is madness, definitely it is madness, and Maya means madness. Maya makes us completely mad. Maya convinces us what we are not, that is Maya. That's why one of the factor of Maya is avanatmika shakti, that it covers us up completely. And then second is prakshepatmika shakti, it kicks us, you know, after that. So in this madness, what happens, then person forgets what he is, actually completely. Like this one story, nice story is given in the Mahabharata. There was Bhardwaj Muni is telling to Yavakrita. He's saying that one story of one powerful Muni, his name was Baladhi. This Baladhi, he performed great tapasya. And the purpose of performing great tapasya was to get a son like Devata, Devopam. You know, son like demigod, should be having all the qualities and age and life and everything, Devopam, like Deva. So demigods appeared to him, they said, you will get a son, but you cannot get a son like Devata, because for that person has to be in the heavenly planets. He cannot live for that much long life. So he said, okay, then, you know, demigod said, his life should be dependent on some cause. If that cause is destroyed, then he will be destroyed. So he said, okay, these mountains are standing for so many years, and they will be standing for so many years. So let him be dependent on this. The nimitta, the cause for my son, is mountain. He's depending on them. So he's like, now the son is born, very beautiful, very intelligent, Medha. That's why his name was kept Medhavi. And he was by nature very angry. And especially when one comes to know about his good qualities, and especially he came to know from other rishis that demigods have given him the benediction that you have a very long life, you know. You cannot be destroyed so easily. So this is the nature, you know, of the false ego, that it makes us feel ki I am better, filled with pride, you know. A lot of ghamanda came to him, and because he was just focusing on himself, and because of this pride he was started disrespecting, because this is the many lot of this is a very common theme in the scriptures. If we find that when the pride comes, we start thinking that we are better than others, and naturally we start disrespecting others. So he started disrespecting rishis. Not only somebody who came on his way, he would go out of the way to disrespect them. He would travel all over the earth, and he would just go for the purpose of teasing somebody. You know, some people take a special fun and, you know, pulling somebody's leg, and then their leg is pulled. And then that's how what he did. He went to one this great rishi, very powerful, intelligent rishi, Dhanushaksha, and he started disrespecting him like anything. And then rishi, out of mercy, you know, to discipline him, like it is written in the purport also, the great souls, they actually, a lord himself, they actually discipline the person, otherwise he'll do much more worse thing. So he caused him to burn him ashes, to burn to ashes. So he didn't burn, because he had a vardhan, the benediction. So then he saw from his divya drishti that he is beyond this disease and death for, you know, for a long time. Then he came to know by his mystic powers that his life is dependent on these mountains. So through his mystic powers, he actually destroyed those mountains only. And then this son was dead. Devopan was dead. So that was the destruction of the Muni Kumar. And then, it is written there, evam labdva varan bala darp purnas tapasvinaha. That when he got this vara, labdva, after getting this var, that bala, that he became darpa, he became full of pride. And because of that, what happened? Shipram eva vinashyanti. And very shigra, immediately, he got destroyed, finished. So there are many, many pastimes, or you can say stories, you know, you will find in the scriptures, that how it happens. Another very beautiful story which is given actually about Nahusha. Many of you must have heard about it. Like, and we can exactly see what is written in this purport, in this story, you know. Like, if one of the small sparks were tried to burn the original fire, the attempt would be simply ludicrous. So this is what happened in the Nahusha's life. That he was a small person on the earth planet. He was a very pious person, always engaged in the religious activities, very tejasvi, you know, full of valor and fame and everything. But, you know, compared to demigods and great rishis, he was just a normal person. He also knew it. And when Indra had to forcefully hid himself because he had killed Vritrasur, because of that Brahmahatya, he was hiding somewhere. So there was nobody to rule over the heavenly planets. So it is not advisable that any place remain without king. So all the rishis and demigods, they were worried that we need a king. We don't know where Indra is, when he will come. So they all unanimously agreed that we'll bring this Nahusha and we'll make him the king of the heaven. So they approached him, and when they approached him, he told that very humbly he spoke. You know, you can see how the transformation takes place with the power. I'm weak. I don't have any capacity to protect all of you. And if a king cannot protect his citizens, his followers, his subordinates, then what's the use of being a king? So you just leave me like this, what I am here, I'm happy here. They said, no, you don't worry. We'll take care of you, you know. Because, you know, if king is not there, we'll have fear from each other. You know, we'll be troubling each other. The better you be a king. Because this is an important thing. Because when without leader, it's like chaos everywhere. So they said, you don't worry, what we will do, with all our combined tapasya, you become the king. We'll give you our tapa, our austerities. And you will have such powers that whomever you look at, you will take his power also. You will take his tej also in you. So all the devatas, dhanavas, yakshas, rishis, rakshasa, pitra, everybody, gandharva, they all gave his power, their powers to him. He became the king. And as soon as he became the king, he started enjoying the different kama bhog, different enjoyment in the heaven. He was traveling to all kinds of gardens and mountains and rivers and oceans and with all the apsaras. And many kind of people were always present in service of him. like we read in the seventh canto, like Hiranyakashipu had control everything and all the, you know, nature was completely serving him. So similar description is given that how full, you know, like all the demigods and everybody was in his service. So there's nothing wrong in it, because as a king he can enjoy legally what is possible. But the problem comes when he became, you know, more proud, and he one day his eyes fell on the Shachi, the Dharmapatni, the wife of Indra. He said all his sabhasad, all the associates, that why she is not coming and serving me? I am the Indra now. She should come. And so they just, you know, didn't know what to say. And in the meantime, Shachi came to know about it. So Shachi went to Brihaspati, Guru, and she told that you only had told me that I am the very chaste wife for my husband. I am the most fortunate lady. And whatever comes to your mouth should be true. So it should also be true. Now this situation is happening that Nahusha wants me. I don't want to go. So Brihaspati said, you don't worry, I'll take care. You just stay here in my ashram now. So he gave full protection to the Shachi. And now Nahusha came to know that Shachi had taken shelter of Brihaspati. So, you know, another, you know, now his yuga became more flare up, because already it's like a betrayal or it's like an insult, you know. So he was so angry, and because he had all the powers, although he was a normal person, now all the people had given the power, they made him the king. When he started becoming angry, everybody started shivering in the whole heaven. And they said, please don't get angry, she is the wife of Indra, and it is not good to, you know, have the Sangha, the association of another woman who is the wife of another person. So Nahusha didn't listen to anything. He said, what you are talking about? You know, what about Indra? You know, what he did all, you don't know. How he destroyed the Satyatva of Gautam's wife. What you're teaching me? Just go get Shachi. I'm not going to listen to anybody. So they all very humbly approached Brihaspati. And they told, you know, we have to accept this, because now Nahusha is Indra. Better she goes there and serve him. So Brihaspati says, no way. I'm not going to betray somebody who has taken my shelter. And he quotes from Brahmaji's teachings. He said that according to Brahmaji, if somebody doesn't give shelter to one who has taken his shelter, you know, somebody doesn't protect the person who has taken his shelter, his future is very dark. He said whatever seeds he will sow, they will not grow. There will be no rains on time over there. And whenever he would like to protect himself, nobody will come to protect him also. And like that, many things he says. He says his pitra, they will go to Narak, and his children, they will die untimely death. So many things he says. And he said, whatever happens, I'm not going to release the Shachi. She has taken my shelter and she is a Dharmapati of Indra. So they said, okay, you only tell us then, because you are our guru. We are in trouble now. If you go back, he will just finish us off completely. So Brihaspati says, better Shachi ask for some time from Nahusha. Because time is a very powerful thing. As the time passes, things changes. And that time itself will finish the Nahusha. So they all demigod very humbly approached Shachi. They said, they told that you are our only shelter now. And you, because of your satitva, your chastity, the whole universe is maintained. You please go and just tell this thing to Nahusha. So she was scared, very hesitant. Still she went. And as soon as she went in front of Nahusha, he said, I am the king of all three planetary system, Tino Loko Ka Swami. And you make me your, you know, husband. I'll do everything for you. And she was shivering like a banana tree. And then she very intelligently told, don't worry, you know, I just don't even know where Indra is. Let me just find out where he is. And after I find out and everything is over, I'll just come and be with you. So she closed the topic and she went to the Brihaspati's ashram. Just closed for some time. And then all the demigods, they met Vishnu. They said, what should be done now? Because Vishnu is all every time shelter. And Vishnu told, now you find Indra and arrange a yajna for my pleasure. He should do all the worship for me. And I'll take care, you know, I'll free him from all the sins, I'll make him pure again. Because that is the mercy of the Lord. Lord always protect his devotees, you know. Although they are mixed devotees, demigods, but because they are working on the behalf of Lord, even if sometimes some happens here and there wrong things and they take shelter, So Lord protects. The Lord said, okay, we'll do that. And they did the yagya. Indra came and Indra was purified. Then Indra came to Swarga, and when he saw the power of Nahusha, that how Nahusha is able to take the power of anybody who comes in front of him, he got scared and ran away. And when he ran away, Shachi Devi started crying, that Ha Indra, where is the Indra, my husband now? And because she thought now he will protect me. And then when he was crying, she was praying to the Adhishtati Devi of Ratri, the night, and she helped her to take him to Indra. So Indra was hiding in one sarovar, Divya Sarovar, it was 100 yojanas wide and 100 yojanas long, and there were thousands of lotus over there. In one of the lotus stem, Indra was hiding. Can you imagine where he was? How small he became? And there she took him, and there Shachi started requesting, please come, show your valor, kill that Nahusha, what he is doing with me. He said, this is not the time to show power. We have to use our niti here. So I'm telling you something very much in confidence. Don't tell anybody. But you should go to Nahusha. And what you should tell him, you should tell him that you should make the career of rishis. Rishis should lift you in palki. So this was the, you know, thing he had in the mind. So Shachi approached Nahusha, and Shachi told that I want one promise from you. Because he told that I can do anything for you, just tell me, you know, because I'm so much sold out to you. This is the nature of lust, actually. So she said, what is my desire? That previous Indra had career like elephant, horse, chariot. But I want your career should be something different, something very different, even different from Vishnu and Rudra and Rakshasas and Asuras. And she told, your career should be Rishiyan. Rishi should be taking that career. They should be taking you in your palanquin, Rishi, Sapta Rishis and Brahma Rishis. He said, yeah, I also think like that. That is the best career for me. And he immediately started following that. All the Rishis were carrying him on the palanquin. So this was the plan, that because of his ego, because of his so much ghamand, the pride, he was doing this kind of activity. And because of that, he started losing all his pious credits. And one day, when all the Rishis were carrying him like this, he was becoming very, very egoistic, very, very proudful. So they asked him, he said, we have one doubt. You please tell us that all these mantras which are given in the Vedas, are they bona fide or not? They were just trying to, you know, talk to him, you know, just to convince him, try to tell him that what you're doing is not right. But he was completely in darkness and andhakar. He said, I don't believe any of these Vedas and Puranas and Shastras. I don't believe. And he started arguing with them. And in that argument, he kicked Agastya Muni on his face, on his head. And when he kicked him, Agastya Muni, all his teja went away. Everything got destroyed. And Agastya Muni told, Sarpa, fall down. You become Sarpa. And for 1,000 years, you will be now moving 10,000 years in all the earth planet and just be suffering like this in the form of Sarpa. So this small fire, Nahusha, who was a small person, and he became such a great king because of the mercy of the Rishis, and then he wanted to trouble the Rishis only. You know, so then everything was taken away. So this is what happens, and it happens because we are not able to focus on the glories of the Lord, glories of the devotees, glories of the people who are helping us, who are supporting us, who are taking us ahead. So that's why part of devotional service, that we need to hear the glories of the Lord. Like when Dhruv Maharaj also got bewildered, you know, while he was fighting with the Yakshas because they killed his brother. So although they had killed his brother, so as a king, it was his duty to, you know, have a, you know, some kind of punishment for them. But it's not that he start killing them in wholesale. So what has happened, Dhruva started killing wholesale. Not just one or two or three. And there Swayambhu Manu appears, and Swayambhu Manu tells Dhruv Maharaj. He tells many, many teachings actually. And one of the reason he says, you should surrender to the Lord, because, you know, many things he says. And one of the reason he says, because he controls everything. That's why you should surrender to the will of the Lord. And one should act which pleases the Vaishnavas, which pleases the devotees, which pleases the Lord. This act will not please the devotees and Krishna, like you're killing in wholesale. And he says, Tamev Mrityumartam Tat Devam Sarvat Manopehi Jagat परायणम यस्मे बलिम विश्व सृजो हरंती गावो यथावे नसी दाम यंत्रिता. माई डियर बॉय ध्रुवा, प्लीज सरेंडर अन टू द सुप्रीम पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ द प्रोग्रेस ऑफ द वर्ल्ड. Everyone, including the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, is working under his control. Just as Gavo Yatha Ve Nasi Damayantrita, just like a bull is prompted by a rope in its nose, controlled by its owner. So we are all controlled by the rope which is going through our nose. They are the instructions given in the Vedas. They are the things given by the Lord himself. So this is what Swayambhu Manu told Dhruva Maharaj, that we have to realize how small we are and we are under the control of the Lord. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, very beautiful purport actually, I'll just read it a few lines. The material disease is to declare independence from the supreme controller. Factually, our material existence begins when we forget the supreme controller and wish to lord it over material nature. Everyone in the material world is trying his best to become the supreme controller, individually, nationally, socially, and in many other ways. This is a very powerful line actually. Individually, nationally, socially, and many other ways, you know. All the countries, they are fighting to become supreme controller. All the states are fighting. All the communities are fighting. All the, you know, even societies, even the college, there used to be hostels, you know, like, and different hostels have competition, which hostel is bigger. Like, they have games and everything. The whole idea is to become best. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to stop fighting by his grandfather, who was concerned that, this is the important line, Swayambhu Manu was concerned that Dhruva was adhering to a personal ambition to fight to annihilate the whole race of Yakshas. Because that was not the purpose, that was not the goal, that he should annihilate the whole race. It means he had got deviated because of his just, you know, getting distracted from the path. In this verse, therefore, Swayambhu Manu seeks to eradicate the last tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the Supreme Controller. So this tinge of ambition is actually can be eradicated only when we realize the position of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada is saying, you know. That Swayambhu Manu seeks to eradicate the false tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the Supreme Controller. So that is the goal of reading Prabhupada books, one of the main goals, that we realize the position of the Supreme Controller. Like we were recently in Mayapur and hearing a lot of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hardly publicly revealed his opulences, but few times he revealed, you know, few times he did that. And sometimes devotees also, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, like this time when everybody in the Navadvip was criticizing, not everybody, sorry, many of the people, most of the people, they were criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his devotees, what they are doing. And it was really creating a very painful situation over there among devotees. And once though, like they started beating devotees and beating breaking the mridangas, and so many things started happening. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had declared that, you know, you should come tomorrow and bring all your torches, and what we will do, we'll have I'll just tell few things from this, you know, incident, that how Lord's opulence, Lord revealed, and it's very important to know about them. So when he called for this procession, Vrindavanas Thakur described, there were millions of people came. And each one brought torches, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told to bring the torches. And torch is not like electric torch with the battery and everything. It says oil torch, you know, they have to keep putting the oil, you know. So in one hand there was oil and one hand there was torch. Still, the description given by Vrindavanas Thakur is, that everybody was clapping. If they had torch and oil, then how they were clapping? So they said, Vrindavan Dasgupta said, that actually everybody had developed four hands, but nobody knew, because they were so absorbed in the kirtan. They were so absorbed. And the crowd was so thick that not a mustard seed can come. If a mustard seed fall from the top, then it will not reach the ground, because crowd is so thick. At the same time, although it's so thick, by the mercy of the Lord, everybody could happily see the Lord's face. How is this possible? Everything is possible. That is what the Lord's opulence is. That's what the Lord's mercy is. That's what we have to understand from the scriptures. And every house, although the declaration was done in the morning, you come by the afternoon time, late afternoon time, they were busy making the torches. Still, every house was decorated with branches of bananas, clay pot of water, coconuts, mango twigs, ghee lamps, opulent plates and everything. And the roads, lot of puffed rice and conch shells and everything was there. So who brought all that? So Vrindavanadas Thakur says that wherever Lord is performing his pastimes, he's enjoying his pastimes, these things happen. Lord's potencies are unlimited. Parasya Shaktir Vividheva Shuryate. Svabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriya. He has to just desire and things happen. And then he warns, he cautions all of us that do not consider these topics as exaggeration. Such things happen wherever Krishna enjoys. Because our mind, which is filled with our own limited idea of this material world and our own strength, our own powers, they cannot conceive the power of the Lord. So everybody was perspiring and shivering in the out of love, and so many people came together. A lot of things are given there in that pastime. But just to give you an idea that how Lord attracted so many of them. And even the people of other faith, you know, when they were planning to run away by seeing this, and they came to join, to see this, you know, because they couldn't run away, because there was no place to run. Because everywhere the crowd of people, where even mustard seed cannot come down, everywhere will they run. So some of them taken out their turban, some of them hiding their beard, started dancing. They got affected. Even thieves, they were thinking this is the best time to steal, because nobody's at home, but they also joined the kirtan. So this is the opulence. This is the opulence of the Lord. It comes in different ways. Like if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking with Sanatan Goswami, and he tells this story of Brahma visiting Krishna in Dwaraka. Another, you know, like connected to Brahma, if you see the. And when he comes there, and Dwarapal asks him, you know, Krishna kahena kona Brahma ki nama tahar. You know, Krishna is asking, which name Brahma has come? What is your name? Dwari asi Brahma re puche arba. Vismita haina Brahma dwari ke kahila. You know, the Brahma became vismita, bewildered. He said, what it is? Tell him, kahagiya sanak pita chatur mukhaila. Sanak Kumar's father, four-headed Brahma has come. So he was invited inside. Krishna, he bowed down and Krishna also respected him. And then Brahma kahe, taha pache kariba nivedan. Because Krishna asked him, why, for what you have come? What is the work? He said, I'll tell you work later on. Taha pache kariba nivedan. Later on I'll tell you. Ek samshe mane hoy karaha chedan. There is one doubt, first you destroy that doubt. Kona Brahma puchile tumi kon abhipraya. You ask that which Brahma, what does it mean? Is there any other Brahma than me also in this creation? And Lord just smiled and the millions of Brahmas came. All of you know that story. Some Brahma had 10 heads and hundreds and thousands heads and millions of heads. And not only Brahma, actually Chaitanya Charitamrita says there are Shivas also with thousands of heads. And there are Indras also, millions of eyes on their body. Because different universes have different dimensions and different powers. And this is a beautiful verse which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes over there. Dekhi chaturmukha Brahma phana par haila hasti gana madhya yena shashaka rahila. Seeing all these Brahma and all the opulences of Krishna, Brahma got really bewildered. He became completely bewildered. And he considered himself a small rabbit among many elephants. So this is like many places you will find in the scriptures, the Lord will reveal his glories to devotees basically. Because if Lord reveals his devotees to demons, they will not even appreciate that opulences. But even to appreciate the opulences of the Lord, we need the mercy of the Lord. And the proof is actually when Lord Krishna showed his Yashuru form to Duryodhan. You know, when he has visited a Shanti Dut, everybody was appreciating. If you read that Mahabharata section, everybody was appreciating, except Duryodhana and company. They were thinking that he is just, you know, showing some magic and we are not going to, you know, they were planning to capture him. So actually it's both, you know, it's like with mercy of the devotees, we come to know about Krishna, and then we can appreciate Krishna's glories, and we have to read more and more about Krishna's glories, and then we understand more about Krishna, and then we more understand about the glories of devotees. But for the atheistic people, they just start criticizing. So this dynamics are very difficult to understand, that how great souls, because especially if somebody is very much, you know, drowned in the false ego, that how person has so much talent and so many opulence and still he can be so humble. You know, like another aspect to which I was trying to come to, the last part of the presentation, that how devotees, the glories of the devotees is that they appreciate Krishna's glories and they understand their humble position. Like when once, Sita Devi was there in the Ashok Vatika. So all of you know Hanuman has visited her. So Hanuman has offered Sita that I'll take you back. You just climb on my back. And Sita gives many reasons. We don't talk about it. Main reason she gives actually, one of the prominent reason was that I want to give this glory to my husband, Ram. Let him come and take me. And then she started expressing her concern that now they will come, how will they come? Because as far as I know, only three people can cross the ocean. Yourself, Vayudev and Garudev. How will they come? All these monkeys, I mean Lord Ram and Lakshman. And then Hanuman could have told, you know, I am the only one, come with me. They will not be able to come. You know, you can tell me anything. Or you can say, yeah, that is there, let's see what we can do. Not like that, because there is like, you know, false ego. So he said, no. You don't know who Sugriva is? Sugriva is the Swami, the master of all the monkeys and vanaras and bhalus. And they are all so powerful. They are so dhairyashali. They have so much patience. They have so much strength. And they have such strong mental strength that they can run to any place. They can walk any place. There is no obstacle come on their way. And through the Vayu Marg, through the airlines, you know, their own airlines, they have traveled all over the earth. Many times they have done the circumambulation, including the oceans. What are you talking about? You know, there are many of them. And this comes the last, you know, like which he says. He says, in the Sugriv's army, there are much more powerful vanaras than me. In fact, there is not a single vanara, there is not a single monkey which is less than me, actually. Everybody is more than me. And then he says that actually, you know, if a messenger is sent, ordinary person is sent as a messenger. You don't send your top person as a messenger. So I am an ordinary person. All others are the topmost people, those who are there in the army. So this is a very difficult thing to understand, because for me also, you know, when I heard this pastime years back once, like Hanuman, it was proven fact, you know, before they were trying to cross the ocean, nobody was able to come forward. Even Jamvan said that I can go but cannot come back because of my old age. And only the Hanuman was the person who could jump and come back. And he's saying that I am the lowest. Now, for a conditioned mind, it's difficult to understand, but this is what the humility is. And even they may be having also some vanaras like that, some powerful, I don't know, they had actually. But still to accept that I am a small person and always living in that consciousness is actually the great qualities of the great souls. And if you read the Acharya's life, there's so many pastimes are there, so many pastimes are there. Like this, we heard this pastime of Vasudev leper recently in the Mayapur Yatra. When he was embraced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his body, which was filled with worms, it became golden. So he started crying. He's saying that, why did you change my body? Because now I'll become proud. People will think that I have got the special mercy of the Lord. It's better let me be, you know, like that only. So Mahaprabhu said, that's what the main thing. Mahaprabhu said, don't worry. You just chant Hare Krishna, serve the Vaishnavas and share this message with others. So this is a secret actually, because if we just talk about negativity, that, you know, this is the problem, that is the problem, then we'll become again, you know, fully in problem. So he said, don't worry, just chant Hare Krishna sincerely, serve the devotees and share this message with others. And this helplessness also very important actually. It's not, it is bad, like what Vasudeva leper was feeling, but this is the qualification to chant Hare Krishna. This is the qualification to attract the mercy of the Lord, you know, the humility. Because this is what attracts Lord's mercy. Like one pastime recently I read, when Prabhupada was there in the Radha Damodar Mandir, so there one Babaji, I think Hirdayanand Babaji was living nearby. And every day in the night, he would hear the crying and crying sound and sobbing sound, and even the brushing sound, somebody is brooming. So that day he thought, what should I do? You know, that day he thought, let me see what's happening. So he came there and he saw Prabhupada, when he was living in his room, he was going in front of the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, and he was crying and weeping, and before that he was cleaning the whole area And he was asking, when will you give me your mercy? When will you give me your mercy? So this humility actually attracts Krishna's grace. And then person can continue. Like once Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to Srila Prabhupada, he was really having tough time in some management or some activities in India. And literally when he was explaining to Prabhupada, he started crying, he started weeping. And Prabhupada started laughing. He said, I'm crying and you're laughing, what it is? He said, Krishna was also laughing when Arjuna was crying. Because this helplessness is the best thing. Because in that helplessness, we take shelter of Krishna. We understand that who are we, you know, we are such a small person and who Lord is. Because we are small, we have to understand that. Like once one devotee asked Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was explaining that there are birds, they fly from one planet to another planet. And when they are flying, they give eggs. And when those eggs are coming down, the eggs are hatched. And another bird comes and they start flying to another planet. He said, wow, we didn't know this, Prabhupada. We never heard about it. Prabhupada said, what do you know? You are still in your mother's womb. You know? So this is a very challenging thing to accept because of our position. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, I'll just conclude with this small karmanevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phal hetirbhur mate sangosto karmani. That we have to begin with this. This pastimes like Hanuman, having all the talent, having a big person, is still feeling always, you know, very small. I don't know how much time it will take, at least for me. But at least we can begin with this. What Krishna says, karmanevadhikaraste, that you have the right to perform duty. So this verse actually should make us humble. But actually, the people, those who quote this verse very frequently, it makes them more arrogant. The people who quote this verse, they with a lot of arrogance, they quote this verse. Oh, we have the right to perform the duty. And they want to take all the fruits of it also. But they don't talk about the second verse, second line. Ma phaleshu kadachana. Such an important line. Immediately person will ask, if I plant the tree, then you will eat the fruit or I'll eat the fruit. But this verse is saying, you plant the tree and I'll eat the fruits. It's very difficult, it makes us humble immediately. You say, why then? Why? Because I am the doer, I am the source of everything. So now somebody will say, okay, I'll give you the fruit, no problem. I have accepted the second line. But at least give me some credit that I have done this. So Krishna smashes that also. He says, no. Ma karma phal heturbhur. Don't even think that you are the hetu, you are the cause of that phal. I say, at least give me that. Why? Why not? Because Krishna explains in the 18th chapter, Adhisthanam tatha karta karanam cha prathakvidam vividhasya prathakchesta devam chevatra panchamam. There are five factors of action. And those five factors are, first is Adhisthanam, place of action. Then karta, the soul performer. Then karanam cha prathakvidam, the different senses, different senses. And then vividhasya prathakchesta, different endeavors. And the main cause is devam, super soul. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that Supreme Lord is the super cause. Because by His will only everything is happening. So when one understands that I am actually a very small cause in that work, out of these five factors, I am only just a small cause, that karta, that also in the seed form, completely sakuchit form, covered with all the modes and everything, then actually he realizes that actually result doesn't belong to me. Then he realizes that even the hetu I am not. And with this technical understanding of Bhagavad Gita, we can actually start practicing of this philosophy of that I am not the doer, you know, Lord is everything and whatever comes is given to the God. Now another problem may come up that if I am not getting the fruit, I am not getting the glory, then why to work? And that's another common philosophy in India. Like on the name of Bhagavad Gita, people want to be lazy. Yeah? Like Krishna says in the next verse that among success and failure, you should be equal. So success and failure, you should be equal doesn't mean like you don't endeavor only. When the Pandavas were fighting, every day they had to strategize. Like if the other party is making the army formation like this, then they have to go like this. Every yodha, every warrior, where will he stand, what he will do, everything was strategized. Not that, you know, success and failure, who cares? Devotee, while he's working, he works as if everything depends on him. And when the result comes, then he accepts that everything depends on Krishna because he does his part. Otherwise, it will lead to laziness. That's why Krishna warns Arjuna, Mate sangostva karmani. Now, don't be attached not doing your duty. Because immediately, the mind will think, if I'm not getting the fruit, I'm not getting the glory, so why should I work hard? There is one saying, proprietorship turns sand into gold. Proprietorship turns sand into gold. If somebody becomes a proprietor of a very bad company also, he will put his heart and soul into it and revive it because he's getting all the profit. He's the sole beneficiary of that profit. But if here his proprietorship is not there, then why will he work hard? What is the motivation? That's why people get confused. So there are four motivations in life: fear, duty, desire, and love. And the greatest motivation is actually love. So this is our goal, that we try to love Krishna, love devotees, and for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of the devotees, we want to contribute our thing, whatever we can. Like, you know, Prabhupada disciples, they always talk about Prabhupada's smile, that how they would be working hard, like Gurudas Puva was saying, that we didn't have temples, we didn't have books, we didn't have devotees, we didn't have anything, but we had Prabhupada, we had the Prabhupada smile with us. So that smile is actually the pleasure of the Lord, pleasure of the devotees. And this is a very wonderful thing. We are very fortunate that we have these books with us, which are guiding us. We have devotees which Prabhupada have given, and we can read these books. You know, once one person came to Prabhupada, very critical mood. He said, Prabhupada, your devotees, your disciples, they're like coal. They're like coal. You wash the coal, coal become more dirty, and you become more dirty. It remained coal only. So Prabhupada said, yeah, they are like coal. But you know, coal under pressure become diamond. So they are with me now. And they are becoming diamonds. Another person came, another critical person. He said, you know, you people are always distributing books, books, books. They will become bookworm. Prabhupada said, if you don't read these books, you will become a stoolworm. You know. So many problem will come, many obstacle will come, people will come of different background, different vision. We can just make our way, you know, taking inspiration from the acharyas and devotees, and then we can perfect our life. Thank you. Any comment or question? Thank you. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.